Welcome to the Tim Fowler Show, where production is paramount and we discuss the tools, time, and people associated with getting jobs done and making a profit. On today's episode of the Tim Fowler Show, we will be talking about the reputation economy with the help of special guest Tess Jessick of Guild Quality in Atlanta, Georgia. Alongside Tim Fowler, I'm your co-host Steve Wheeler. Here is the Tim Fowler Show.
Hi everyone, Tim Fowler here, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Tim Fowler Show. Like we always do, send in some ideas. We've been on this for almost 5 years now, and it's kind of hard to think of new stuff. So please send in some ideas and we can get your ideas on the air, so to speak. So it's a fascinating study to see how the world changes around us. And there's always change going on. And one of these areas that's really, really critical is just the study of the economy. Now, I'm fascinated by this thing, but I'm also bewildered by the economy. I don't pretend to understand every aspect of it. But the good news is there are people that understand the economy. They understand what's going on. And if you pay attention, you can get some pretty good predictions about what's going to happen. So you have to listen, though. And I'm just going to share a personal experience. Back in 2007, I was hearing these like noises that there might be a problem with the economy and the housing bubble and all kinds of little things like that. And I just kind of, I ignored it. Because I was doing all the right things. I had a safe mortgage. I was paying my bills. I was working hard, that kind of thing. And then when that recession hit me, I was so unprepared that it just shocked me. I scrambled. I survived. But it would have been a whole lot better if I listened to the experts on the economy. Just the other day, I was driving back from visiting a company, and I heard on NPR, there was a report about the economy. And the focus of that report was all manufacturing. And I just kept going like, talk about housing, talk about housing, talk about housing. And it never hit the airwaves there. So just all about manufacturing. So our guest today works with a company that, at least in part, what they do is they study what's going on in the construction world. And some of it has to do with like, how's it interacting with the economy? And so we have this topic today about the economy and how it's changing. The really cool thing, though, is they deal with people, real people, boots on the ground people that are actually buying our stuff. They're buying remodeling projects. And so they're also studying how those people are interacting with our industry. And so I think that's the fascinating thing that we're going to see today as we get into this topic. So, Steve, let's get started because I need some education on the economy.
All right. So Tess Jessick is the Director of Sales for Customer Engagement Solutions of EverCommerce. She manages the sales teams for Guild Quality, PulseM, and Customer Lobby. With close to a decade's worth of experience in the industry, she understands the importance of customer experience, customer engagement, and customer retention as the most important driver for your business. Welcome to the show, Tess.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm excited to be here.
Okay, so let's get started like we always do. People who listen faithfully know we got to find out a little bit about your business and maybe help us understand like why should we listen to you today about this particular topic?
Absolutely. So a little bit of history, or I guess background on Guild Quality. If you're not familiar with it, we're actually the leading provider of client satisfaction surveying in the industry. We've been around for well over 20 years. And we actually work with over 15,000 home builders, remodelers, home service providers nationwide. What we do for those folks is we help them gather client feedback, and we do it at the highest response rate in the industry by far. And we don't just stop there. We actually help our members leverage that feedback with three main pillars, right? So first and foremost, we help our members track trends within their business by creating custom operational reports. Do you need to see how, you know, your sales team is stacking up? We can do that. Do you need a report on bathroom versus kitchen remodels? We can do that. Secondly, we also help our members leverage this feedback online to showcase all of the great work they're doing, get an accurate reflection of their business online. We can get it on, you know, their website, Facebook, Twitter. We've even recently launched a really cool Google review boost component that a lot of our members are excited about. And lastly, we help our members drive as much business through the door to really impact the bottom line using our lost lead survey. And the really cool thing about that is following up with your lost leads that you assume are dead. I've seen a member, actually multiple members, if they close one or two deals, it pays for their program tenfold. So it's been really cool to see how important having that strong line of communication with your clients are and how important it is to really impact the bottom line.
All right. So I want to come back to the Google review thing because that's something new, but we're going to cover the topic first and then we're going to come back to that. So I kind of had a little joke here, and that is I've heard of a slow economy, a robust economy, a stale economy, but I've never heard of a reputation economy. And so I just want you to kind of define that for us and maybe give us some of the milestones that tell us that's where we are right now.
Absolutely. So let's put it this way, Tim. Have you been online to buy anything, you know, like Amazon in the last month or so?
Do I have to confess? Yes. I sure was.
Me too. You're not alone. I, to be honest with you, that Prime membership, it's a real savior. Now, when you're buying things online, do you look at the reviews? Do you scroll down, see maybe the pictures of the item that you're thinking about buying?
Not a lot. I am not overly impressed by what other people think.
I can say I do. Not a fan of one stars for sure.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe I have to explain. I'm not a shopper. If I'm going online to buy something, I'm going right to the thing I want and I buy it. And so it's not like I am searching it out to see, you know, who, but anyway, go right ahead. Talk to us about what everybody else does. Cause I'm
Tim's probably an outlier.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, like I just recently bought a dog bed for my dog. And the first thing I'm doing is I'm looking on Amazon, right? Seeing which ones are popping up first. They all look the same, right? But people are getting different reviews, different responses. So I check on, you know, the top three probably. And I'm going to see what the first couple of reviews are. Are they recent? Are they good? Are they bad? I like looking at the pictures because I've been burned before where I think I'm getting something and it shows up on my doorstep looking completely different. Right. So with that in mind, you've just participated and transacted in the reputation economy. It's basically an environment where the success of a company relies heavily on how they're perceived online. And I mean, in today's day and age, businesses, consumers alike, they've all become more tech savvy and they've turned to the internet to one, promote their products and services, and two, determine which businesses they'd like to work with. Yeah. As a result, your online reputation is now an integral part of doing business, no matter what you're selling, where you're selling it, and whether you know it or not, you're operating in the reputation economy.
Right, right. Yeah, so let me just probe that a little bit more. You know, because I have looked at reviews. It's not like I never look at them. But in some cases, I get like, this is the worst product I've ever had. And then I get like the next line down is, I wouldn't have any other product. This is the best thing I ever bought. How do we sort of justify that wide variety? And I think with remodelers, every now and then, they're going to get that client that just isn't happy with anything, even though they did an incredibly great job. And then all the clients that go like, wow, these are the best. How do you justify that sort of in that reputation economy?
Absolutely. So I think what you're saying, it's completely natural. If you think about it, we like to refer to them as keyboard warriors, right? People who hide behind their keyboard, they might be really upset. And those are the ones we tend to see are highly motivated to go out online. And so one thing that we talk with our members about is you want to take control of that narrative. You do really great work. You want to make sure you're getting an accurate reflection of your customer base online. We want those people who are like, yeah, you guys did a great job. They don't think about going online to leave you that review. We want to ask, say, hey, if you loved it, thank you so much. We would really appreciate, you know, getting that online so that the next person can see how wonderful we are. And what I tend to do when I'm looking online is I look at all of the reviews just as a whole. You know, you're going to get 5 stars, you're going to get a 1 star, but it's really where the majority lies that people are going to be making those buying decisions.
Okay. So Remodeler's Advantage has never really been about bidding or the lowest price or anything like that. We've always said, look, you figure out what you need to charge for your product and then sell it to in the process to make it work for you. And so, but I do know too that like costs keep going up and up and up. And every time you mark up that higher cost, it's now a higher sale price. And there is a really intense, desire to bring that down. You know, you're still paying your suppliers what they charge, so you're just defeating your net profit in the process. So how does this reputation economy impact how people are buying in terms of pricing?
Absolutely. So I think what means the most is thinking about, you know, your average customer. Sure, some people are going to be out there tire kickers, right? But for most people, that's not the case. As costs increase, consumers overwhelmingly become more selective about their investments. That dollar means more. We've actually seen that 60% of consumers are willing to pay more if they believe they'll receive a better service. And that number is even higher when the product or service impacts their quality of life, such as, you know, the state of their home. So I was actually reading a study by Forbes, and they said during inflationary times, good reputations can bolster sales despite pricing increases. That's, you know, pricing power. Yeah. A brand that has a high social status has robust pricing power. And I think given today's state of economy, this is especially relevant because brand loyalty directly influences return, referrals, and even new business. So now more than ever, it's really critical to have an accurate reflection of your business, your services, your customer experience, all of that out online for potential buyers to see.
Would you go back and give us the 60%? They're willing to pay 60% more for what?
60% of consumers are willing to pay more if they believe they'll receive better service.
Okay, good.
And that number is even higher when the product or service impacts their quality of life, such as, you know, their kitchen, their home, whatever it might be.
Yeah, I actually read some quotes about American Express where they said 89% of the people are willing to pay more if they get a better experience. And it was all about the customer experience with whoever they were dealing with. So yeah, I think those numbers are dead on accurate. And I like this concept that, yeah, there's a lot of people out there looking around, but people are going to pay more if they believe they're going to be getting more in terms of service and that kind of thing. So very, very cool. So I just mentioned the client experience thing. And I've been doing a little bit of study about it. We probably need to do a podcast on it sometime, but the experts seem to be telling us that the client feedback is absolutely critical. And I know that a lot of companies, like they send out a survey at the end of a job, whereas I'm seeing in my research that the feedback as you're going through seems to be as important as the end. So just kind of give us a little bit of understanding about why the client feedback is so critical.
Client feedback is so critical because if you think about it, you know, let's just say, you know, my mother-in-law, right? She just had her kitchen done and it looks fabulous. It took a really long time. She had a couple of issues, a couple of hiccups here and there, but the end product, I mean, it could not be more dream worthy. What she will tell you though, if she has neighbors over, is this kitchen looks great, but just so you know, X, Y, and Z went wrong. And it took way longer than I thought because there were so many problems. I think as people in the industry, problems are going to happen, right? What's important is that we get in front of those problems before they become a bigger issue, and that we're able to create a resolution so that homeowner feels valued, they feel heard, and you know, hey, this is what they're going to tell neighbors. So I want to make sure that I leave a good taste in their mouth, not just, hey, we're done here, on to the next one.
Yeah. So do you know how many of your members actually do more than just one survey at the end of a job? Is there a fair number that are doing intermediate surveys?
Absolutely. I think it depends on the segment of, you know, industry you're in.
Right.
What we tend to see is people who are doing longer projects, like, you know, custom home builds, production home builds, kitchen remodels, bathroom remodels, even those are a little bit shorter. Those people are the ones who tend to survey at multiple touch points. And I would say for that segment of the industry, probably about 70 to 80% of our members are doing that.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So Tess, to piggyback on that, you mentioned kind of getting the client surveys throughout and your mother-in-law, kind of talking about the process and the experience she had with the kitchen. What is the best way for a remodeler in, you know, when they were selling to your mother-in-law, how could they set expectations that this will be a bumpy road without scare tactics, without saying like, you know, it's going to go wrong, but we'll fix it. You know, how do you see people setting expectations where you can say, you know, 6 weeks in, especially maybe if you have young kids, you may hate us, you know, but we're going to keep going. We're going to fix issues. It will happen. What's the best way to set those expectations up front?
I think it's all about building a strong line of communication with your customers, right? I think it's like any relationship in life. There are going to be ups and there's going to be downs, but it's important to set those expectations on the front end, have honest, open conversations. You know, hey, there might be a shipping delay with X, Y, and Z. I just want to give you a heads up as an example, right? But I think the most important thing at the end of the day is creating that strong line of communication, picking up the phone when someone is calling, letting them know, hey, this is what's going on. I want you to know that you're in the loop. We're going to get through this together and we're going to come up with a game plan, right? And I think, you know, leveraging processes to have that in place, such as surveying at multiple touch points, it helps take the work off of your plate so that your clients at the end of the day, they're feeling valued.
Yeah, so the survey thing gives you the opportunity to respond very, very quickly. And one of my little catchphrases is if the client has to ask, you're too late. And so the proactive communication about what's going on is absolutely essential.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned the shipping delays, which we've, you know, the past 2 years we've just seen exponentially grow. But do you see people's acceptance of the bumpy road? You know, as you said, opening those lines of communication, they're more accepting of these things as you go through it?
I think they are more accepting because, you know, they can't control it and you can't control it. And you're having that conversation that, hey, this is out of our control, but we're going to do everything we can to make sure we are taking really good care of you here. And I think that is really where the value comes into play. And I will say, you know, when I talk with a lot of our members, one of the things that we found is that only 25% of customers speak up when they have an issue. So it's really important to have those conversations and ask those questions, even though they're tough to have. It's important to give clients the opportunity to have the space to voice their opinion or their question or have that, you know, opportunity.
One of the things that I've seen in my work with companies is that because we're so close to what we do, we assume everybody else knows what's going on in our world. And so we just assume that everybody knows it takes a year to get a refrigerator. We assume that everybody knows that there's a supply chain problem with plumbing fixtures or whatever. And what I've been trying to encourage businesses to do is like, if you've got a family with young kids and maybe nursing, you go like, hey, you remember we had that formula problem, you know, back in the spring? We have the same problem in our industry, but it's not formula, it's refrigerators. And if you can kind of get that communication going about something they will understand, then you stand a better chance of them having some empathy. But I think in general, if you don't bridge that thing, it's very hard for them to conceive of, last time they bought a refrigerator, they bought it, it was put in the next day. What's the problem? And so it's a real challenge for us, but it can be dealt with if we take a little bit of time. So you do a survey, you get information. I was thinking, I think Toby Keith had a song about, a lot less talk and a lot more action or something like that. Probably not what we're talking about in the song, but anyway, there's a lot of talk about customer experience, a lot of talk about listening to your customers, what do you do with all that information? You get something back off of a survey, or you maybe even like in a weekly meeting, a project manager is talking to a client and they start expressing, some dissatisfaction. And what do we do with that?
Well, what you don't want to do is sit on it, right? I think it's like you always say, Tim, you don't want it to be just, it is what it is.
Right,
we want to take control of that situation, take control of the narrative. I think if you come across an issue, bring it up with your team, right? But one of my favorite things to do with customer feedback, one of the best practices that I see with a lot of our members is, especially with the good feedback, if you want to leverage it to your advantage, you want to actually put that into your sales process. So, the very first time you're speaking with a prospective customer, you can encourage them to look at your website or read your reviews online, show that social proof and the commitment to problem resolution and high customer satisfaction. I've even got members who will bring a list of customers to potential client meetings that include customer testimonials. They've actually, pulled up their Guild Quality profile page and they say, hey, look, don't take my word for it. Why don't you take the word of the last 100 plus people that I've worked with on how much we care about not only the product that we are doing for you guys, but also your experience throughout the entire process. It does the selling for you. And I think lastly, never forget to explain the why behind your what. That's a really big thing here at Guild Quality. Tell your prospects why you survey. We survey because we genuinely value our clients' opinions and we want to know how to best serve them. And I think that leaves a really good taste in people's mouths because they understand it much better.
So is there like I'm just sitting here thinking about that. Is there like a case where you want to say, for example, we learned from listening to our clients that we could do this better. And so now we do something mm-hmm. like that, like give some kind of real practical example that client's going to experience as a result of listening to what their feedback was.
Absolutely. Yeah. I had a member, he was an exterior remodeler, but he thought their issue was communication, right? And he started surveying, started pulling reports, and he found that they were actually doing really well in the communication area. It was actually in leaving the area clean and safe. There were a lot of nails that were being left behind, whatever yeah. it might've been. And so he actually took that feedback, internalized it, thought, well, how can I do better? How can my team do better? How can I make sure we're doing right by our clients at the end of the day? He actually hired a lawn care service, some kid in the neighborhood to come mow lawns after they would do, a new roof, for instance. So that way, when everybody in the neighborhood, they're walking their dog by that house, they say, wow, that house looks really good. And I see the sign in the yard.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's just a really cool experience to see.
This is a really interesting spotlight you put on blind spots that we all have. And I think this is one of the keys, one of the things about getting client feedback, that if you listen, if you really pay attention, it'll open your eyes to your own blind spots. I mean, I see this when I'm doing consulting. I met fairly recently with a company where they wanted some help with the production team. And I go in and I go like, it's not the production team. you got to do some stuff, Mr. Owner of the company. And so that feedback that you get has to enlighten and has to help them see some of those blind spots, I think.
Absolutely, I'd agree. I think it's really important because we have our own intuition on what we think is right or wrong or what we're doing. But I think it's really important that, again, we ask those tough questions so we can get the insight that we're not able to see when we look in the mirror ourselves,
Yeah, we tend to project ourselves onto our clients and, we think, we think this, and so they must think that same thing. And rather than have the conversation, it just stays in there and nothing ever changes as a result of it. Well, this has been really, really cool stuff. And I love the conversation about this.
So just wanted to jump in real quick on the reputation. So you said economy. So obviously any economy has a production and consumption aspect. So I guess I want to ask like a bunch of different questions about it. But so if you find that there is a job goes wrong, and you have, and you start, and you have a bad Google review, or you really do have a good, bad review, what is the barometer of the reputation versus the economics? Is that, am I saying that right? There's a connection of, you know, what is it worth to have a good reputation?
I think it really comes down to how you handle the situations, because I mean, we're all human, right? We're going to make mistakes. You are going to get, you know, maybe a one or a two or a three star review. I think what matters the most is how you handle those conversations and how you handle what may be put online. So I think no matter what you're getting, you can always make a positive impact on, you know, what's coming through the door for you or potentially coming through the door for you. So when you respond to those people, you're showing that you care. So potential clients still see that you're, you know, they care about their client's experience. And I can see that they're responding, which means a lot more to me than just seeing that one star review. So I think regardless of the reviews you're getting, as long as you're taking control of that narrative of the situation, it's going to help you in the long run in terms of the economy. I think just making sure that you guys are putting your focus on potential clients coming through the door, it's going to help impact the bottom line. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, 100%. And then from production manager to our, laborer, how can we as owners, as managers, leaders, you know, just promote this so everybody gets the point that how important this is to keep our reputation, and how do you communicate that to the team?
Absolutely. I think one of the really cool best practices that I've seen with our members, as an example, is leveraging, you know, the operational reports that we create from the feedback we're getting. And they actually use that internally to, you know, create some sort of competition to say, hey guys, you know, we really care about what our clients are saying because it's going to impact us at the end of the day. So we're going to do a little competition. You know, whoever gets as many shout outs, you know, within a certain time frame, or whoever gets as many 5-star reviews, having those conversations with your team, it's going to boost morale and motivation within the team, but it's also going to help you guys because you're creating an environment where it's really inspiring a better, I would say like a better client experience at the end of the day, if that makes sense, because everybody knows how important their role is because they have some sort of impact on that client at the end of the day.
Yeah. Then I have one last question, not to be too tinfoil hat or conspiracy, but you know, with anything, any economy, there will be some fraudulent activity. What do you do if you suspect? Because I see reviews and I see, you know, 5 stars. This was great. And you go, well, who's making this review? Are there bots? So if there's any competition that was, you know, not by the book or fraudulent, is there something to keep an eye on in terms of bad reviews in that perspective?
Absolutely. I will say, you know, I'm right there with you. We're always trying to educate ourselves on, you know, what's happening online. I know, you know, Google takes a really strong stance on review gating. I'm not sure if you guys have ever heard about that, but that really helps put, I would say, fraudulent people in place. But I think from, you know, a homeowner standpoint, what they're looking for is, you know, what people are saying in those reviews. I don't know about you guys, but it's really easy to see what reviews sound like they're coming from the same voice. They're using the same amount of exclamation marks or making the same spelling mistakes. And it's back to back to back. And you're like, that just doesn't look right. I think a lot of the online platforms are putting things in place to prevent that from happening. But what our members will do is they'll leverage, you know, a process like Guild Qualities, and they'll say, hey, look, you know, take whatever you want online as, you know, just a grain of salt, but we care so much that we've actually used the third party Guild Quality to follow up with all of our previous clients because we care that much. So, you know, these are authentic past clients. We can actually see, you know, the pictures of the project that we've done. So you can really put together the narrative with a visual, which I think really becomes life to people.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, fantastic. So a lot of good stuff here. Tess, just how can the listener get in touch with Guild Quality? Just give us some contact information, then we're going to wrap up.
Absolutely. So if anyone is interested in learning more about Guild Quality, please reach out to us. You can either give us a call. The number, if you've got your pen ready, it's 888-355-9223. Again, that's 888-355-9223, or you can shoot us an email at sales@guildquality.com.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate your being here. And now I know that we have slow economies, robust economies, and we have reputation economies.
This is awesome. Thanks so much, Tess.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So, Tim, I'm obviously enlightened. What are you taking from this discussion today?
Well, number one, I think just it helps me to put a name on what's going on with all the reviews and things like that and how it's impacting the economy. And one of the things I thought was really, really good when we were talking about, like, should we drop our prices down a little bit? And I went back with Tess and said, you know, give me that again, because I want to make sure I get it. And that there's a huge percentage. And again, whether her information or mine from American Express, a largest part of the population is going to tell you, it tells you that they're willing to spend more for that better experience. And in the context of this podcast, we're seeing that understanding of experience is coming through reviews, surveys, things like that, that, again, whether they're done by Google or by Guild Quality, you're still seeing that, and that people are looking at those things a little bit unlike me, but they're looking at those things and saying, yeah, I want to hire that person because I'm seeing these qualities there.
Yeah, I mean, we were very guided. I'm less on the reviews. My wife, you know, I'll come to her and say, oh, we have to buy this. This looks great. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, she said, the reviews aren't so good. So that's the red light on that. But, yeah. You know, it is very helpful. And I think it's just so important to kind of stress the overall tentacles that this reputation economy has, because we're in a new world. I mean, the visibility of every action that our company produces is visible to so many people now. It's just not word of mouth and dinner groups where you're hearing this stuff. It's everywhere. So it's so important to communicate this with your team, to have stakes at, you know, what all of this is worth. So I thought Tess laid it out perfectly, just, you know, having contests, having games within the staff to, you know, promote the good work that we do, because we do care. And I love the thought that, you know, to have that third party with Guild Quality to be an emphasis of how much each company cares, not just these, you know, Google reviews. So this was extremely helpful to, because I have heard about the reputation economy and a lot of our members talk about it, but it's just, you know, a little more tangible information.
I think one of the best things is just this idea, like you were just alluding to, the idea of getting everybody in the company involved in it. I think sometimes it's like our marketing person's the only one that needs to care about the review that we get. And I've been known within companies to say, look, when you're doing your pre-construction conference, just tell the client, hey, we want a 5-star review. Or if you're going to use Guild Quality, look, we're going to send you this review. What do I have to do to get that 5-star review from you? And then they'll start talking about what their expectations are.
Yeah.
Because I know my past experience was I'd step all over expectations only because I was ignorant. I just didn't know what they were thinking. I didn't bother to ask.
Yeah.
You can get those upper managers on the job site to be asking and talking and interacting with the client on those things. Then you stand a much better chance of actually hitting those expectations on site. and then them giving you a review that really reflects what happened there and the satisfaction that they have. So
yeah, and what's most important to them? Because we can try to guess what we think is important, but you know, the fact that the site is clean is way more important than being on time or something along those lines.
But yeah, but the other thing with it is we don't know, and we kind of assume that all the things like cleanliness and communication and that but what I tell our clients, Steve, is look, they hired you because they know you do that.
Yeah.
What are you going to do to wow them?
Yeah.
What are you going to do that they go like, oh my goodness, I can't believe they did that.
Yeah.
I heard they were great with communication and great with cleanup and that kind of stuff, but whoa, look what happened. They did this. And if you can ever get like we did all the standard stuff, but then there was the wow. Then what happens is they say things like when they go to that cocktail party, they say things like, man, you wouldn't believe it. It was a great experience. We had a little trouble, but, and then the but is, wow, it was amazing what they did with this. And if the but is positive, then you're in good shape. But if the but is, it went pretty well, but then there's a negative, then you have trouble because they only remember what happens after the but.
Yeah, awesome. Well, this has been awesome. We want to thank Tess Jezik for joining us today. And we always want to thank you for listening to another episode of The Tim Fowler Show.
And remember, at The Tim Fowler Show, we are working hard to eliminate that nasty little phrase. It is what it is from your vocabulary.
This has been another episode of The Tim Fowler Show. Want to hire Tim and fast track your growth? Visit remodelersadvantage.com/consulting to learn more. And if you'd like more information about roundtables, our world-class peer advisory program, please send me an email at steve@remodelersadvantage.com. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the show and comment on iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.